You get a chance to continue my legacy here in Pinstripes, you know, in the, you know, best city in the world, the best baseball city in the front of the best fans. This is an incredible honor.
That one's driven deep to left field. There's a flight. See ya. A long home run for Judge.
Gerrit Cole goes the distance.
Stanton homered again. Trapped him on air.
There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
This is 161st Street, Yankee Stadium.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Four Train Savages podcast, episode number 164. And Tyler, exciting time today. Today is March 27th, tomorrow is March 28th, and that marks the beginning of the 2024 New York Yankees baseball season. Opening day. Let's go. Finally here. Long,
we're here,
exciting
dude.
Off-season. A lot of great stuff happening. A lot of weird stuff happening in spring training. Some injuries. But nonetheless, the start of the season is about to happen. How are we feeling? I know I'm excited. Can't wait to go. Let's do it.
Bro, this got me even more excited for opening day after seeing, obviously, the text you sent me yesterday, but I saw on Twitter, Baseball Reference projecting the Yanks to win 70-something games.
Yeah.
I'm just like, all right, bring the fucking season on, baby. Let's do it then, because that is la-la land if I've ever seen
it.
But nah, I'm fired up, Rob.
We definitely have to get into that a little later. But, it's the start of the season is always exciting. And
we have decent Cole news.
Yeah, decent Cole news since we last spoke, obviously, with the whole real big scare of Tommy John. But they did their due diligence. They went over and they saw that he's going to miss significant time, but he's not going to miss the worst thing that we first were hearing circulating. So, or hopefully, knock on wood, that it's as speedy as a recovery as we can have for him, so we can get him back on the mound and start watching him in the Bronx and start watching him. Pitching pinstripes would be the best, but definitely not as bad as what we were all had in the back of our brain.
I mean, you're just always thinking, obviously, as we know, elbow, worst case scenario. But like we said in the last pod, man, I mean, if he was going to pitch in August, I was pretty much taking that as a W. Or if he didn't get TJ, you're taking that as a W. So I think, you know, we haven't signed another pitcher, obviously, so the mantra is just –
next man
live without
up.
Cole for a little bit.
Next man up,
baby. 2018.
Obviously there was some news to come out of in that sense with the pitching staff, that Luis Gil wins that last spot. Him and Will Warren were sort of fighting for that last rotation spot, and Gil did look very promising in his spring training. And we have to remember, before this guy's injury, where he missed significant time, he had some really fantastic stuff. And when we were watching him, we're saying, wow, you know, tall, lengthy dude, had a lot of power behind
his
arm.
Nasty breaking ball.
Nasty stuff. So we'll have to see how he bounces back. But in terms of, you know, we wanted them to go out and get another arm. Jordan Montgomery signs yesterday, last night.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out Scott Boras for butchering his contracts and all the promises that he had for his clients. I know Monty's not getting bad money whatsoever, but, you know, you're talking
long. Thought he's getting $100 million going in the offseason.
You're thinking him and Snell are getting long-term deals, and I mean, maybe you don't blame Boras for that, but I just can't help but feel that
there's just no way someone – like, other teams offered more than what they're both getting.
Yeah, exactly.
They probably Boras probably gave them both a number and was like, hey, we're not taking anything less than this AAV in this amount of years. And it never came, so they got screwed.
So, but the Yankees, you know, we wanted – as fans, we wanted them to potentially sign a short-term deal to Snell or sign a short-term deal to Monty, but that didn't come to fruition. And now you got Luis Gil entering into the rotation, and the news comes out that Nestor's pitching tomorrow for opening day, so that should be very exciting. Nestor was talking about, I heard him on with Meredith for one of the games, and he was talking about how last year when he came back, he was trying to ease the nerves a little bit, and he worked on that this offseason, and that he wasn't trying to do too much, And that's sort of what was the drawback of him last year, because he was trying to do so much to when he, you know, because the Yankees were expecting a lot of him, and then he got in the deep hole, and when he was coming back from the injury. So he's trying to put it at ease, and that, you know, it's funny because he's starting on opening day, and he's like, he admitted, he's saying, like, when you
he
start
needed
on,
to though
he did need to, but you know, you're
because you can't throw Stroh out there, you can't throw Rodon out there after his last year.
Yeah, so you're saying Nestor's been the you know, he's been here longer, and certainly brings the energy in his own way. But it's funny how he was talking.
He's pitched in some big games too, though. I think he was Game 5 of the ALDS against Cleveland last year.
Yeah,
or the year before
he has
or
pitched
not last year, the year before.
Yeah, so he has pitched in some important games. But now you're looking at a rotation, at least to start the season. You got Nestor, Stroman, Carlos Rodon, Clark Schmidt, and now Luis Gill. And we know though that
Beter and Warren are on the hitch.
You got those guys because it's not. Just baseball by 2024
baseball
standards.
Happens. Baseball happens.
Is injuries are going to happen, and things don't always go as planned, as we very well know from just even this spring training. So, but Gill starts the season in the rotation. But we have some other news to get to. I definitely want to talk about that baseball reference stuff, and then we have some other overarching questions. But a little bit of housekeeping, you can call it, with the injury news. The biggest thing is that DJ LeMahieu will miss the start of the season and won't play on opening day with this foot issue, the foot bruise. And so he's going to land on the IL. And a lot of people, too, I've been seeing are saying, you know, go out and sign Gio Urshela, or go out and get Gio Urshela. Go out and make a move for another third baseman. I was curious to see, you know, how you're going into the season, how you're feeling about DJ, because at this point – I don't want to say my expectations are at the floor with him, or
they're not high. I mean, they're not high at all.
You know, when we previously watched DJ LeMahieu, 2019 DJ, 2020 DJ, absolute gangster, so good, performed amazingly, and we, as Yankee fans, really fell in love with the way that he played and the way he fit in the lineup. But now,
even first half of Judge's 62 homer season, I mean, before he got hurt, he was. He was hitting the ball. Yeah, I think he was getting on base like a 400 clip. So it's there. That's the thing.
Yeah. So I know the way that he finished last year gives Yankee fans reason to say, well, he could still contribute, which is fair. I just don't really, especially with the way that now his body is breaking down and he's playing a, and the way that they were shifting him around in the infield. I think he could still certainly be a contributor. I just don't have – I don't think that we should come into the season having the highest expectations for him.
Or relying
or,
on him.
Or just relying on him, exactly. When it
I
comes
got a, bad,
to,
a scary comparison.
When it comes to, like, I think when you're looking directly at the Yankees lineup, I think when you're thinking between DJ or Rizzo, who's also dealing with his own little lat tightness to end the year or end spring training,
Rizzo
I would
back,
I would
baby.
Sort of – expect more from Rizzo than I would a DJ at this point is the way 100%. I'm feeling. So, yeah, I wanted to pose that question to you.
Yeah, I think you're kind of at the point with DJ just due to over the last couple of years and how infrequent he's been in terms of production that you're kind of at the point where if he gives you, you know, his good stuff, it's just kind of icing on the cake at that point. The comparison that's kind of scary to me, and you could tell me if you agree or disagree with this, but are we kind of at the point where if DJ is healthy, we do kind of expect him when he's really healthy and he's rolling, we're happy with what we're getting out of him. Is that fair to say for the most part?
Yes.
But him being healthy, whether he's on the field or not, is never a given, right? He can be unhealthy and on the field, and we know what it looks like when he's battling something on the field. He's not the same player. Mm-hmm. So is that kind of like the position player of Luis Severino, where it's like, hey, it's there, man, but we can't bank on a damn thing from you because you're not around. And when you are, you know, sometimes it's here, sometimes it's there. So it's like that thought just kind of creeped into my mind a little bit where I'm like, is that, you know, is that my icing on the cake? Anything we get out of DJ? Anything we get out of Sevy?
It's Please. Not crazy, Tyler. It really isn't. I know Yankee fans are going to be pissed to hear that, or some may be pissed to hear that, but that's not crazy because that's the reality that we're dealing with now. Mm-hmm. DJ in these past 3 years has just not – the health is just – like you said, he could be on the field, but we know that he's sort of dealing with something, and we hear it when – broadcasters talk, you know, they'll allude to him having a little bit of issue. And yeah, that's kind of it's a good comparison, I think. I agree.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I hope. I mean, it, the big thing that sucks, and it was the same when we would watch Seve. It's like, yeah, man, when he's on, I mean, he's up there with some of the more productive players in the league in a really helpful spot in the lineup or the rotation. And it just stinks because, you know, we'll get really good 6 to 8 weeks of DJ, and then all of a sudden it just falls off a cliff if you know, the toe's bothering him, the foot's bothering him, the hernia, whatever it may be. So, I don't know, man. I mean, I would love a healthy season out of DJ. Obviously, we're not starting off on the right foot. It sounds like it won't be too long on the IL. It could just be that stint, that 10-day stint. But, mm-hmm. I mean, we're listening to Yankee talk.
Yeah.
When they say that.
Yeah, keep in mind.
I'm shaking that with a grain of salt for sure.
No, because, I mean, I think it was I was watching one of the spring training games in the background, mm-hmm. and I was listening to Boone talk to Flaherty and Nelson, and they were asking him about DJ, and that's when the quote came out that he said, I'm not feeling optimistic, or it was something along those lines that we don't know. And that's kind of where they're going to be with DJ, and I would not be surprised if that's the sort of sentiment just all year from the Yankees. If this is like, and it sucks because that's what he had, that the reason that this bruise came up was the at bat that he fouled off, mm-hmm. off the foot. But that's baseball, Susan. That you got to deal with it, and you can't, you know, it sucks. But who's to say that it's something else couldn't happen throughout the year? But I know, like, they're saying it because they love Gio and they love what he brings, but
like Twitter?
Yeah, Twitter. But I think there is now some validity to, okay, we know the Yankees are going to be shopping for pitch, and this is way out in the distance of August baseball, mm-hmm. but I think now the Yankees have to be thinking, okay, any way that we can now add depth, and they've done it in, you know, whether it's last year looking for Franchi Cordero or the year before getting Trevino, and in terms of bolstering those positions, they may be looking, okay, we may need to get a third baseman now a little.
There's got to be a move.
So it may come into the season. I don't know if it's going to come sometime in the summertime, but now they're going to be thinking, mm-hmm. about, okay, I think we really have to. And it, you know, we'd, as Yankee fans, yeah, it would be wonderful to get Gio, but it may not be Gio, but something. I think now Cashman is certainly saying, okay, well, you know, this sucks, but I think we have to be thinking about, all right, let's get another quality third baseman.
We love Gio, but Gio, I mean, Gio gets hurt a lot too.
Yeah,
I think he missed like 80 plus games last year. I mean, there's no, he'd be an awesome story. I'd love to watch his cute face run around every day, but. I mean, you're just kind of...
It
feels like a big Band-Aid right there.
Yeah, you're turning in another injured player for another one. So
imagine, I mean, you're at the point, too, if DJ has, like, a decent start and maybe, I don't know, Peraza's playing well or something's...
Well, that's
something's
another one. He's out for another 6 to 8 weeks, or he's being shut down for another 6 to 8 weeks. So that's
going to be bad with him. But, I mean, you're at the part with DJ where there's only 2 years left on his contract, so maybe, I don't know, you see what you can do with that. I don't know if they'd even entertain like a trade for him.
Cut
just to
bait.
Dump it or
yeah it'd
or,
be tough,
or what
though,
it is
still with
but what you want to do is, I mean, you want to have him just produce, so you don't even have to think about that. But
well, now too, I know we were talking. Now we can, I guess, sort of talk about lineup construction, because I know that, mm-hmm. you adore that conversation.
Oh yeah.
So, and obviously it has to be, you know, not with lefty matchups, but I did when they're facing a righty starter, I really do like Verdugo out of the leadoff spot when they can fit him in with the,
yep.
When they got the righty on the mound, but I think. You know, you would have DJ in that leadoff spot, but now it sort of opens up. Like, can Volpe move up? Is that something that if he starts producing, because you know you
or is Glaber just your leadoff guy?
Or do you put Glaber in leadoff? I would prefer him probably, you know, batting potentially cleanup with with you know, now that they sound very keen on the Soto Judge 2-3. So if you let's say with a righty on the mound, or you know, however you want to explain it, what would be your sort of ideal lineup?
I mean, I think I'm at the point where I would love without DJ. We're doing this,
yeah. Because we're probably gonna, honestly, I think he may miss the first month of the season, so we're dealing with, you know, April baseball. Yeah. That would be my educated guess. So,
I might need to construct it. All right, I'll fly with it. I think I do like Glaber. Like, I would love Glaber in the middle of the lineup, but I don't. I kind of like Verdugo towards the middle. All right. So I'll go. I think I want Glaber, obviously, leading off, starting second. Soto's my two hitter because he wants to be there. Judge is my three because he wants to be there. Then I think you're at Rizzo. Mm-hmm. And then, unfortunately, you have to hit. You kind of have to hit Stanton five to break up the righty lefty. Mm-hmm. And then I have. Then you're at Verdugo. Then either Trevier or Wells. So that's seven. And then you're really at Waldo, honestly, and you flip-flop that either way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I would agree with that.
Or short and third.
I also wouldn't be against, especially on Trevino days, I wouldn't be against putting Volpe up in there ahead of Trevino.
Yeah. I kind of like my only idea with like Volpe hitting last is it's kind of the Brett Gardner double leadoff-esque type of thing. No pressure on you. But yeah, if Volpe's rolling like he's, you know, a league average hitter, swiping 25 bags and is hitting, you know, not 220 this year, but he's hitting 245, 250. I mean, I'd love him to be right behind Verdugo or something like that. Like, that'd be an awesome little tandem right there.
Yeah. And then I wouldn't hate for those righty days, I think. Just Verdugo, Soto, Judge, Rizzo, Glaber, and or maybe even, I don't know, if you want to put Glaber cleanup, I wouldn't hate it either, but I know they kind of want to put Rizzo behind Judge just because they like doing that. And then that gives you the opportunity to move Stanton back. And I think, you know, that's going to be huge for Stanton if they just take that somewhat just mental thing of the where he's hitting in the lineup. And then that too provides just the way that the lineup is orchestrated. Because even that, I mean, dude's hitting three home run games in spring training. It's like, all right, save that for the year, please. But it's saying
we also watch Higgy hit like 11.
Yeah. So
remember.
Yeah. So anything that you can get, if he's even remotely close to like 30 home runs, you know, you're thinking, okay, at least he's contributing in that way. And I think putting him down in the lineup and having, you know, it's going to be Glaber, I think, is going to be having, I think Glaber is going to be in for a big year just because of the contract aspect
too.
Because I think Glaber, if he does have a well performing season, he will get a significant bag if, you know, they see the offense again, whatever team it is, they see the offense progress from
the lineup, know, does feel deeper. The lineup does feel deeper with Verdugo at leadoff and Glaber towards the middle then, because then you can instantly just push down Stanton another spot.
Yeah, because that's what
I kind of – do you want Stanton pushed down? Because I think that's where I'm at.
I
definitely want him bottom half.
I definitely – to start the year, Tyler, I definitely want Stanton back in the lineup further back in the lineup because, one, he hasn't – the performance last year didn't warrant him being in the – cleanup spot because he's the big bad big hitter for the Yankees, and he needs to I don't want to say like he is humble, but I think now it's saying, okay, now he got checked by Cashman and clearly he didn't like it, and he got checked by the organization with the whole health and stuff, and he came in all thinner, and now, you know, by where he's going to be in the lineup, that's another like reality check for him. But and he's just And I don't want to say that he was, his personality is like anywhere where he's like, F you, blah, blah, blah. Like, he's going to take it, and now he's going to use it as motivation, I think. And putting him back at six, that may be. And then a week later, we see, I don't know, a 4 or 5 home run week. I'm saying, okay, here he goes. And then you then force their hand is what we've said it time and time again. If he forces their hand to move him up in the lineup and he performs, then I'm like, okay, put him back in fucking cleanup. That's what I'll be like. So
and they'll do it. Like, we've seen them do it with Volpe, and when Glaber performs, they'll bump you up in the lineup if you're getting hot. They might sit you the next day if you get too hot, and give you a rest day. But no, I would love Stanton to start with some pressure off him and kind of give him like you said, exactly, get it, light more of a fire under your ass and be like, hey dude, you are not necessarily the guy we want hitting top four right now. You like, prove it, and then you can be that dude again. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to Glaber and Verdugo switched, either Glaber towards the middle of the lineup. But
well, who what are they? Who they're facing Valdez on opening day, so they'll probably bat Glaber
lead off.
Yeah, they'll probably bat.
But Verdugo has good splits. I'm pretty sure Verdugo has pretty even lefty-righty splits, too.
So, yeah, that could. We'll have to see. I know Yankees fans will probably freak out, though. They'll be like, why are you batting Verdugo lefty or, you know, lead off against the lefty?
Yeah, exactly.
But then they won't see the numbers. So, okay, yeah, no, I think we're on the same page with that. And then positive news, too, because the last podcast we talked about Judge's injury with the abdominal stuff, but he was able to come back and looked very good, spraying the ball around the field. He did the first game back. Ball hit to the right center, and he looked like he was about to dive for a ball on the warning track, and I just was screaming, just get him
please,
out of the
God,
game,
no.
Please,
yeah.
Just DH him in
light jogs
games.
Only.
So, but it was very positive to see him be playing. I still think it's going to be something that he's dealing with all year, and they're going to probably rest him a little more than we'd like. But if that means that he's going to be healthy towards the end of the year, that's all that freaking matters.
Just play 135, 140, and we'll all be – I think we'll all sign up for that every day.
Yeah. Other noteworthy stuff. Stroman, I think on his own volition, I think it was, because I saw this on – WFAN people complaining about
that
this.
He didn't want to start opening day.
He didn't want to start opening day, and
I like it, honestly.
I don't.
Times have changed, though. Imagine 30 years ago, a coach being like, "Hey, you're starting opening day." Nah, I'm good.
I don't. You're reading too much into it. If you really get that upset, because it's the first game of the year. I know it's opening day is a sort of big deal, and it's a badge of honor. I get it. But this guy is also coming off a significant injury for him. He missed a lot of time, and he wants to be in his own rhythm. He's like, you watch the way that he warms up and the way that his sort of the balance stuff, that he's very in tune with his body, like we say with a lot of these Yankee pitchers. And if he needs those extra days to be prepared, like, I want him to feel comfortable. I don't want to put players in an uncomfortable position just because your fandom is saying, I want him to pitch. Okay, if he performs the third day on that Saturday night and he pitches a gem, you're going to shut the hell up and be happy with it. I just think it's just, I don't know, I think that was just loud speak from people that who cares?
Wait, is Stroman he's not the home, he's the home opener, isn't he?
No, as of now, ESPN has him pitching on Saturday.
Okay, then yeah, I bugged. For some reason, I thought he was pitching
or
the home
he
opener.
May pitch. I think he is lined up to pitch the home opener because
because if that's the case, I can so see him being like, I want to pitch the home opener.
No,
you know,
he is,
and then just kind of using his
As of now, he's lined up to pitch the home opener. So
that's what I thought it was, because I was like, yeah, I'm not buying the whole routine thing. Normally I would if he wasn't pitching the home opener, but he's pitching the 2024 regular season Yankees home opener, and he wants to be a Yankee.
Yeah, I think
that's what he wants.
If anything, that's cooler, that he wants to do
in
the Bronx. So
yeah, let him do it, you know? And it's not like, I don't know. I mean, it's opening day, but it's one regular season game. Mm-hmm. The guy's not saying, like, I want to skip my start. He's just like, hey, hand over to Nestor. Someone, maybe a dude that's put on the pinstripes before. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't mind it at all.
If
I
anything, think, yeah, he's putting more pressure on himself pitching at Yankee Stadium for opening day.
I think if you're getting upset about it, you're just looking to get upset about something. Yeah. It's kind of how the world works. No. I don't mind at all. I mean, I'm going to let – I really have a good feeling about Stroh this year. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to shove if he's on the mound.
I agree. I'm feeling, you know, stay on the mound, be healthy. I think
– he's looked good.
Good things. Yeah, no, that final start for him was very quality. So let's get to the baseball reference stuff before the rest of the questions I had. Excuse me.
Hell of a projection, Rob.
So, Baseball Reference came out with their projections for the American League East and the rest of baseball. So, as of now, in these projections, they have the Yankees to finish last in the American League East with a roughly 72-90 record, behind the Red Sox, behind the Blue Jays, behind the Rays, behind the Orioles, and they said with a 90% confidence they're predicting the best case record at 82-80, and their worst case record to be 61-101. Now, I'll let my thoughts be known first, and then I'll pass it on to you because I know you have very strong feelings as well. I find it really hard to believe with the way, even with the disappointing season that they performed last year, with a similar record to what they're predicting as the worst case or best case scenario with now the additions of Juan Soto. And you can point to the injury of Cole and you can point to the pitching staff. I just have a really hard time believing that that is with the analytical approach of Baseball Reference predicting this, that is anywhere in the realm of a possibility. And having the Red Sox with a 7-win difference between them and the Yankees as their, you know, worst case scenario is very surprising to me, looking at the orchestration of the Red Sox roster. And that's not even just, I think Red Sox fans themselves are looking at their team going, what the F? I mean, Devers is out there saying, why are we not signing people? So there's not even like Red Sox hate. It's just very questioning of why it's, I don't know. I think this analytic prediction means nothing. The games have to be played. And I mean, the Baltimore Orioles won the spring training, congratulations, best record, doesn't mean shit. So predictions mean nothing. And honestly, I'm glad that this was the prediction that Baseball Reference put out. And now it's bulletin board material to put out there and say, okay, guys, let's go prove this wrong and show them how stupid they are. So
yeah,
that's the way I take
throw
it.
Throw that shit right up in the locker room, blow it up. I think I really, it's not even like I am annoyed by it. I truly don't understand the logic behind it. Like you said, you add Juan Soto, you're getting a full year of a hopefully a healthy Carlos Rodon. You added Stroman, you added three lefties. You're gonna get Jason Dominguez at some point. I mean, the logic literally just doesn't add up to me unless they're literally calculating like Stanton's going to again have the worst year of his career, which he did last year. And then, you know, one of Judge or Soto is going to get injured. You can't make up, you know, 15 wins from Cole starts. Like, I don't understand the reality of the best case scenario is you're matching last year's projections or last year's win total. Like I said to you yesterday, Rob, I mean, if DraftKings or any sports book wants to go put the Yankees over under at 70.5 wins, I will gladly put, you know, the majority of the things I own on it. Because I really think, I mean, it hasn't happened in how many years? I mean, when was the last time they won 71 games? Before they definitely we didn't born. Do it in that. What?
I said before was we it? Were born.
Exactly, because it wasn't none of the 2016, 2015, 2014 years were.
They still
were
finished like that. Above 500. They still won. Yeah, close they were. They were games.
Exactly. I think. I mean, you know, go ahead. Go. Like I said, it's not even like a like an annoyance type of thing. It's I really don't understand the projections behind it. But you know, if we're sitting here in May, Rob, and we have a, you know, 20-47 record or whatever it may be, or in June, maybe Baseball Reference will be right, but I don't think so at all.
Yeah, I listen, and I know when the team can, like, even just look at where Juan Soto was last year. All you can have a lot of these really great players on this one team, And it very well can, and we want to be optimistic as Yankee fans, but it very well can happen where the Yankees do have a disappointing season, even with having the stars and making the adjustments. It's just, that's baseball. But I do just find it curious that they're, that Baseball Reference with this data is just having them as the worst. And I think it's the third worst in the American League.
Like, is, by far the worst. They're taking, it's essentially a Cardinals approach to last year.
Yeah,
the Cardinals were supposed to be really good, and they were really bad.
We know the Yankees' flaws, and we know that they can, it can go wrong. We saw it last year. It can go wrong. And I want to be optimistic that that's not going to happen. But looking at the way that the team is, and you, like you said, and I'll say it again, you add Soto, you add Cole, or you, even you lose Cole, you add Verdugo, you add in Trent Grisham, you add in these guys to fill the holes of what the Yankees have had. And
you're adding Juan Soto. I mean, that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, so.
And you're pitching. I mean, I don't understand the logistics of it, of any of it, but bulletin board material, Rob, like you said.
Bulletin board material. So, questions for the new season that we can get into. I was going to ask you what – I guess I can go first and talk about what Yankees do you think is most important to the success of the team outside of Judge, Soto, and Cole. So, you know, past years we'd say, I think maybe last year I may have said DJ or somewhere along those lines, and talking about that. I think on the
we've always said when DJ goes, the lineup goes.
And you can look at certain people in the bullpen, but this time I'm not going to look at the bullpen. I'm going to hone in on Marcus Stroman. I think if Marcus Stroman, for the way that he's looked in spring training right now, for how he's performed. I mean, if you look at the last start in spring training for Stroman, absolutely great stuff. And coming off that injury from what he had last year, missing pretty much the second half of the entire season, being shut down. I mean, like last game, 6 innings pitched, 4 hits, 0 runs, 2 walks, 5 Ks. If that's something that the Yankees get week after week, and he can stay on the field, and that's what me and Tyler have talked about time and time again on this pod, is, you know, the thing with Stroman is, as long as he's pitching, he's going to be that quality starter. And when they initially signed him, you're saying, okay, we're down for this because Marcus Stroman is that quality Major League Baseball starter. He's been out there. He's done that. We know the issues that have come with him. We know that he's pissed off people with Twitter. We know that he's pissed people off with comments on social media. Take your pick of whatever controversy that you saw online with him that made you mad. Got it. But now it seems that he's really honed in on he's wanted to be a Yankee his entire life. It's very clear. I mean, I follow him now on Instagram, reposts everything on his story. Is a just a Yankee fan. He wanted to be here. He wanted to be a New York Yankee. He's from Medford, New York.
He's been a little jelly.
That's really the root of it. He didn't want to pitch for the Mets. He really wanted to pitch for the Yankees. But now I really think that this guy and you could say he's sort of in that third starter spot. Now he's sort of thrusted into, you know, potentially the second starter spot. We are sort of looking for Rodon to be that ace. But I really do believe that if Marcus Stroman can have a healthy full season, he seems locked in. Can clearly see by the way he's talking on social media that he loves being a Yankee and this is where he always really wanted to be, and that he's locked in. And I think he is a really pivotal guy to this Yankee success, especially needing performance from starting pitching. And I think if he gives you what he gave last year for that half season with the Cubs for a full year, takes it into a potential hopeful postseason, that guy will be a huge contributor and a huge difference maker. And so I'm saying if Stroman is that guy, and I'm hoping he is, then the Yankees could be on the right track. So that's who I would say is sort of the the most important to the success outside of Judge, Soto, and Cole, if I had to choose one of that guy in the starting rotation that can really be a big contributor. So who would you go with?
It's almost, for Stroh, it's almost kind of like, too, you know how Clark was that pillar almost at the back end of the rotation last year? We're like, hey, Clark's actually been shoving for like 12 weeks now, where he's going, you know, 5 1/3, 5 2/3, less than 3 runs, the whole thing. So if Stroh can do that and kind of, you know, obviously he has the potential to be better than what Clark was last year. So if he can be that pillar in the middle of the rotation, and Clark and Heel can hopefully shore up the back end, and then Rodon has a solid year, I think Stroman goes, the rotation will go, kind of same logic as like with DJ in the lineup almost. But I'm in lockstep with you, Rob, for sure. I like that a lot. I think biggest thing in terms of, so I'm going to stay away from pitching, because Yanks were middle of the road, middle of the pack in pitching last year. So I'm going straight to the lineup, and I'm looking at two people, Rob. So I'll start with one first. I think if Verdugo is a balanced hitter in the lineup and is slashing with the compliments of obviously a Judge and a Soto, I think that's a piece the Yankees have not had since 20. I mean, you're really looking at 2018, 2019 DJ, a dude, and then this is a guy from the left side. So it almost elevates it to another level. So I'm kind of taking the approach where, like, if Verdugo goes, the lineup's going to go. And this is kind of the same way we did with, you know, DJ the last couple of years, the whole thing. And then hand in hand with that is Gleyber. I mean, Gleyber was literally the Yankees' best hitter last year outside of Judge, the most reliable guy in terms of availability on the field. So I'm going Verdugo and Gleyber, my lefty, my righty. Stay healthy, slash the ball, hit some homers when you have the opportunity. But I think if those guys are going, the Yankees have the opportunity to not be a team that's just a strikeout home run type of machine, because all those other things will come with the guys around them. If Verdugo and Gleyber are ripping it, I think the offense can be way better than bottom like three in OPS like they were last year. So I'm going for Dugs and Gleyber, both dudes in contract years. They got to play hard. Not guaranteed any bread right now, so I think those two are huge for this year.
Yeah, well said. Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think that Verdugo, you've said it, is kind of a league average guy, but if he gives us, you know, heading into his contract year, gives us that league, even just gives us that league average, but anything
if he's
above,
like 770, 780 OPS, closer to 8, I mean, I'm happy with that.
Yeah, because that's what he's been around for his career, and if he's exceeding that, then you're saying give us that all day. So nah, good choices. So the other question that I wanted to pose is those are sort of the bigger guys that'll have an impact. I wanted to talk about any Yankees that you think could have a sneaky impact in 2024. Yep. And one that I'm looking at, especially with now knowing the idea around Aaron Judge, of he's probably going to miss, you know, close to, let's say,
20 games missed, right? At least.
There. Yeah. I think what Trent Grisham can potentially bring in terms of just being that,
I like that
backbone to the Yankees, sort of being that
veteran dude,
plays a solid center field, defense first, from the left side can give you a little pop here and there. I think that can be a guy that really sort of is a sneaky impact that we're not really talking about as much. Now, last year with the Padres, not the greatest season. He played 153 games, not a good-looking batting average, not a great-looking, stats across the board. But I do think in the limited capacity which he will be playing, because we're hoping that outfield is a majority of the time, put in your Verdugo, put in Judge, put in Soto. Hell, put in Stanton more often, because we know we want him to play the field, and it seems that he's slimmed down. But in terms of, we're always sort of, in these past 2 years, we're like, all right, who's playing the outfield today? Billy McKinney, or is it Jake Bowers, or is it this guy, that guy? I think Trent Grisham is just that major league quality depth that could, you know, we bring in guys – you know, we brought in Matt Carpenter off the quote-unquote scrap heap, and he wasn't having a good year off Texas, but then he puts on the pinstripes and something.
Carp's got a bag after that.
Yeah, something clicks for him. And this is a guy in Grisham going into his age 27 season that I think...
I did not know he was 27.
And yeah, no, he looks older than he
is. It feels like he's 34.
And I think that... you know, he could potentially have a bigger impact than we may be talking about. And just being being the backbone of the outfield that has in the past 2 years has been like a makeshift outfield. It's like, all right, here we go. Now
yeah,
this guy
especially
comes
when
in.
Bader would drop. Yeah.
So Trent Grisham would be like my sneaky pick.
Now tell me if this is too obvious of a pick, but I mean, I'm fired up for Austin Wells.
No, that's a good one.
So
if
Trevi can kind of hold it down against lefties and Wells plays the, you know, say Wells plays 65% of games because they're going to face a lot of righties, obviously, and he can slash well against righties if hitting from the left side, obviously. I mean, that's production they really haven't had from the catcher spot too frequently. I know Trevino, it wasn't the year before he made was it last year he made the All-Star game, or was it the year before?
Year before, 2022.
Must have been the year before, yeah. So obviously, Trevi made the All-Star game in 2022, but a lot of that we know, surrounded by defense, surrounded by his ability to frame pitches. He had some big homers for us and some cool walk-offs and shit like that. But I think if the Yankees have a true platoon where it's lefty-righty, obviously, Trevi, Wells, outside of Trevi and Higgy, where you kind of know exactly what you're getting, both similar... skills behind the plate and in the batter's box, if you will. I think Wells kind of instantly brings more of a dynamic approach the Yanks have not had from the catcher spot since, dare I say, Gary Sanchez, dude, in like 2016, where they have the possibility to have someone potentially rake. So I'm going to go Wells, man. I mean, especially if Trevi goes down for some reason, like I feel like catchers just, you know, catchers miss some time. That's the reality of the game.
They get hit.
If
something.
Wells, yeah, exactly. Miss, 10 days here and there because they got a foul ball right off the hand or something like that. Whatever. You know, if Wells comes into play and starts really being a key contributor, I mean, you're talking more pressure off. More pressure off Stanton because Wells has the ability to climb up the lineup being a lefty. You're talking more pressure off Volpe because another rookie's producing. Or not rookie, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. So I think Wells, man, I mean, Wells can be big time for this team. And if the Yanks get someone, a dude that can hit behind the dish, we know how the Yankees feel about offensive production behind the plate. They view it as simply icing on the cake. So I feel like they'll give him some burn. So I think Wells is kind of my sneaky contributor there.
Yeah, I like it. Would Jason Dominguez be a sneaky contributor, or we kind of there's too much anticipation that it would be?
It's definitely no, it's sneaky because we don't we're in a very gray area of like when he's actually going to play.
Yeah,
you know, so it's like if the Yankees are really good, are they going to slow him into things? And what do I expect of him? But if he does come in and just absolutely rake right back from injury, I mean. That'd be pretty sneaky to me because I'm expecting, you know how Bryce came back from this injury last year and he was not Bryce Harper the first
like
2 and a half
games.
Months of the season. Yeah. He had like a 700 OPS. So I'm whenever Jason comes back, I'm literally setting aside like a good 8 weeks where I'm like, hey, you just need to learn how to hit the ball again.
Mm-hmm. Get comfortable with your body again, pretty much.
Exactly. So from that mindset, it would be sneaky to me if he pulls up and is –
Just right off the rip, just, you know.
Yeah. Miss a beat.
Yeah, no, totally. I agree. All right, so before we close out, let's look at this first weekend. So, wow, honestly, the Yankees don't have exactly – they have some formidable opponents, I'd say, heading into their just, you know, their first two stints on the road and then on the at home. So – and then they go back on the road. So you got Houston for the first four games, and we know that they are the
day, Rob. How awesome is that?
Yeah, baseball.
They usually have the you know how it's usually opening
Thursday,
day
and then Friday
that
off
game
day.
Off, yeah. That day off for rainouts.
I know,
I love that.
Yeah, so, well, they're playing in a dome, so I think that's probably what they were thinking, or a dome slash like close.
This is very true. Common sense is your friend, Tyler. but still, it's all. I feel like we haven't seen like there's no way the last few years they haven't had day off. Yeah. Obviously, right after.
Yeah. But so they play four at Houston tomorrow's. I was about to say tip because I'm in a basketball mood. But tomorrow's first pitch is at 4:10. So Nestor versus Valdez. Then on Friday, Apple TV. So remember to get your 1 month subscription to Apple TV if you want to for Friday's game. For Rodon versus Javier. Then Stroman is on the tit for Saturday's game. And then on Easter, they'll be playing at 2 o'clock. And then they head to Arizona, which is just signed Montgomery and obviously a sneaky team last year that makes the World Series. And then they go back home to play versus Toronto. So that's for a weekend game there. So some
it's
good
tough little stretch.
Some good opponents, and then Miami comes in, which Miami is not a didn't make the playoffs last year, but they have some talent, and they're not they're on the up and up, quote unquote. So anything can happen in baseball, especially in these early weeks. So. We talk about it all the time that, like, last year was really sort of in 2022 where they got off to a really hot start and gave themselves a lot of leeway. 2023 was like up and down, and then they had a really fucking shitty May. And now, so just get off to a quality start. Don't, you know.
Just don't fall off the deep end.
Yes. That's all we're asking.
That's the biggest thing. You know, don't go 8-19 like in May. You know, let's hang around for a little while. Let's have interesting, eventful, fun, enthusiastic baseball in August.
Yeah, exactly.
To get there, you got to play decent in May.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
You know, what is the saying, Rob? It's always you can't win the division in April, but you can lose it.
Yeah. You can get really behind.
That's the mindset right there.
And we'll have to, you know, even though we say that the projections are BS, they do play in a very competitive division. And I thought it was funny the other day. Did you see the clip of the Dodgers broadcast going in? Like, in past years, the AL East doesn't seem as competitive as it once was. And I'm saying to myself, well, okay, you're talking about the Red Sox. That's fine. But I'm like, I don't know. I mean,
Baltimore,
the Orioles are still good.
Toronto's
Tampa. Still good. And Tampa's always has this weird way of playing. So I'm like, I don't know. I think they're still quite competitive in one of the better, if not the best, division in baseball, or more balanced division in baseball.
The Dodgers broadcast said that?
Yeah.
It's funny. They have one team that's not the Giants that's good for a year, and they automatically think that they're, like, the best team in division in baseball.
So. I know that, you know, Diamondbacks made the World Series, so now they're touting that, or I suppose. But
what did the Diamondbacks win, Rob? 5 more games than the Yankees last year?
Yeah, there you go.
I mean,
there you go. So I pumped the brakes on that because they still play in a very competitive division, I think. I think you could still make an argument for one of the best divisions in baseball. So exciting time tomorrow. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to kick my feet up and watch some Yankees baseball, man. I've been waiting for it, and especially this time of the year. Opening day is always one of the most exciting times of the year. Weather's getting nice. College basketball's going on. Yankees are starting. Great times. Great times.
Heck yeah. I'm fired up, Rob. Baseball is back, baby. Now I have something to do every night, 7 p.m. Get back in my routine. Let's do it.
Let's do it. So thank you very much for listening to episode 164 of the Four Train Savages podcast. As always, be sure to subscribe, leave us a rate and review, follow us on social media, on Instagram, TikTok, X, everywhere else. Thank you for listening. We will catch you next time. Go Yanks.